Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It is the Robert Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Talked a bunch of NBA. Going to talk it now with Steve Kuyler of Basketball Insiders. And Steve, first I'll ask you the question I asked the audience earlier in the show. And I have three takeaways from the NBA Finals. One, the Toronto Raptors are one of those teams that we'll always remember because they're unique in the NBA championship landscape. Number two, the Golden State Warriors did a lot to bolster their run in that loss to me, the way they went out. Obviously, KD and Klay put it all out there on the court. The rest of the guys fought like hell. I was very impressed the way they went down. And number three, obviously injuries played a factor in the series. I'm not saying there's asterisks or anything ridiculous like that, but, you know, to me, it was clear that the Warriors would have won if Kevin Durant was healthy. With the Splash Brothers out there against the Raptors, it was almost dead even. And then when you remove Klay, the Raptors were too good for them. What do you think of those takeaways?
Well, one, I you know, getting to an NBA championship is such a combination of factors, right? You've got to have an organization that is completely aligned. You can't have agendas. It's why Houston Rockets just can't get it done. Too much internal stuff that doesn't have anything to do with winning. So you've got to be aligned. You've got to have great players. You know, your first three will get you there, but it's the next three that win you. It's the Fred VanVleet. You know, it's the, you know, Serge Ibaka's, the Marcus Gasol's. Those are the ones that actually win you championships. And then the next part, you have to be healthy. You know, it's almost impossible to win if you don't have your guys, and your second-tier guys are just never going to be ready. So, you know, there's a lot of things that have to line up to win a championship, and I think they all did for Toronto because, honestly, you know, maybe 2 months into the season, I'm like, okay, Toronto's going to be the fourth seed, you know, let alone win the whole thing. It just seemed like a moonshot, but it's about getting right at the same time. It's about superstars playing like superstars. You know, Kyle Lowry was incredible in the closeout game. You know, and that has not been his DNA as a playoff basketball player. So I think a lot of things factored in there, no question. Injuries were a big thing, but I also think fatigue. You know, Steve Kerr talked about this a lot, that, you know, having been part of three-peats, you know, the second one is exhausting. The third one is a mountain that very few teams have been able to climb, and you've got to be really special, really resilient, and really healthy, especially when you consider three straight, and in the Warriors' case, five straight trips to the finals. Just look at the number of playoff minutes Steph Curry has logged. That's more than a season for most other guys. It's a season and a half in some cases. So that's a lot more wear on an NBA player's body.
Yeah, I mean, it just breaks you down a little bit. I mean, I think it's a good argument for shortening the season when you see what happened to the Warriors and you saw how effective Kawhi Leonard was after quote-unquote load management. Do you think we're ever going to see that from the league itself?
You know, the one thing I like about Adam Silver is that he refuses to just say, well, that's the way we've always done it. He wants to see the data. He wants to understand what the change could mean. He's open to it. I think we've seen it with the All-Star game and some of the other things, a willingness to experiment a little bit and try on new things. The two things I think that are interesting in all of this is, one, who's going to give up the money? You know, a home game or road game, you know, whatever. If you're removing 20 games from the schedule, where are you getting the money to replace it? Because the players are not giving it up, and neither are the owners. There's just a market level to which you can charge for tickets. And, you know, you work in the media business. I work in the media business. You know, the gravy train of TV rights deals is going to dry up pretty quickly. So where's the money come from? You know, this idea of a mid-season tournament that, you know, could be a replacement for the All-Star game, I'm interested in. That could replace the money and then allow for, you know, less games. Look, I cover this business, you know, 82 games. It's hard for me to get through it. I don't have to get on the court, you know, for players to be in their very best. And I think we've seen this too, is that, you know, throughout the 82-game season, you're going to have 10 games where dudes either don't play or aren't ready to play. And what kind of product is that? So, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons to look at it. And I think in Adam Silver's view, he's always open to the idea but you got to solve more problems than just we want our guys to be a little more fresh for the postseason. You've got to replace the revenue. How does that work in the schedule? Because things are pretty good in the NBA right now.
Robin Lundberg talking to Steve Kyler of Basketball Insiders here on CBS Sports Radio right now. Let's discuss some of the free agency or player movement deals that could go down. I want to talk about three in particular. Number one, Anthony Davis. Do you think it's a matter of when, not a matter of if, he winds up on the Los Angeles Lakers?
It seems likely that it's going to be the Lakers, especially with the idea that Kyrie Irving may not be back for the Boston Celtics. I don't see how it makes any sense for Danny Ainge to give up everything they have in the cookie jar and then watch Anthony Davis walk away in a year and you have nothing, no young guys, no promising draft picks. Maybe Anthony stays, maybe he doesn't, but you put yourself paint yourself into a corner. You probably don't survive. It just doesn't make a lot of sense for Boston. The Lakers are where Anthony wants to be. It seems like they're trying to get a deal done. They're pushing all the chips to the table. So I think it is a formality at this point. They'll probably get done on Tuesday or Wednesday, enough time to get the Pelicans a chance to figure out what to do with other draft picks that may be included in the deal.
Yeah, I mean, and to the Anthony Davis Boston point, there's been Paul George, there's been Kawhi Leonard, but in neither of those cases did their agent go on the record saying that he would leave after a year. Kyrie.
And his dad. I mean, the only person who hasn't come out and said, I don't want anything to do with Boston is Anthony Davis, and I think he probably should do that, and that'll just put an end to all of it. But, you know, this is how it goes. Unfortunately, in this situation, Anthony has all the power. It's a risk for anybody other than, say, the Knicks or the Lakers, just simply because of how far out front his camp has been and what he will and won't do.
You mentioned Kyrie. I don't know if going in we've seen a superstar seem this sure to be anywhere. Now, maybe we should have known with LeBron in L.A., but, you know, LeBron creates extra hysteria. Do you think Kyrie's the kind of dude who just didn't want to be mentioned in all this stuff? You know, he sort of marches to the beat of his own drum. Do you think he sort of just decided early, hey, I'm going to commit without committing to Brooklyn so I don't have to be a part of that?
Well, I think there are a couple of things. Is, you know, I genuinely think Kyrie at the beginning of the season thought the Boston Celtics were where he was going to be. You know, I don't think that was disingenuous when he told season ticket holders he'd re-sign. I think he had a terrible run in Boston where everything went wrong. The young guys didn't relate to him. He was struggling. He was miserable. Didn't necessarily connect to the front office. Didn't connect with Brad Stevens. Saw himself get sullied in every way possible in the media. You know, these were just really negative things. And it's like, do I want to sign up for more of that? And I think the answer to that is no. And then the next part is, well, if I'm not going to be here, what do I want to be? He wants to be close to home. And I don't think anybody's really signing up for the Knicks. So with the Brooklyn Nets being there and seeing how good that team is and Kenny Atkinson as a coach and how well run it's been under Sean Marks, it's the dream scenario for any player, especially if you want to try to be close to home. So to me, I think that is what it's about. It is about, I gave this Boston thing a try and was unhappy. I'm going to go be home.
And finally, Jimmy Butler. I think he may actually be the free agent that has the most impact on next season, simply because we know that Kevin Durant is not going to play, unfortunately. Kawhi, it seems like, would stay in Toronto or go to L.A. And in Toronto, things remain the same. If he goes to L.A., maybe he could create a West Coast version of a kind of Toronto formula. But I still think they may be a few pieces away. With Jimmy, there are many franchises that could be altered in the short term. You know, Philadelphia, obviously, who were a few bounces away from maybe being where Toronto is. There is the Lakers, if he decides to go there, and Anthony Davis is there. And then yeah, the Nets as well, if he decides to pair up with Kyrie. Do you think he could sneakily be the free agent that has the most impact on next season?
I think he's probably the most obtainable game changer, like you're saying. You know, if the Philadelphia 76ers don't come with a full 5-year max offer, I think Jimmy's going to go shopping. And I think the appeal of the L.A. market is interesting to Jimmy. That's where he spends most of his time in the offseason. And I think he's one of the few free agents that could plug in next to, say, a LeBron and still thrive. You know, Jimmy is kind of his own guy. He doesn't get frustrated with, you know, other marquee players. So, you know, how does Kyrie fit back in with LeBron? I don't think that makes sense. How does Kemba Walker, you know, I don't know that makes sense. Jimmy fits with the Lakers. Now, there are a couple of dark horses in this. You know, it's been reported recently the Miami Heat. Jimmy has had an affection for Pat Riley and the Miami Heat organization for a while. That would require some very creative cap work or a sign and trade. So it's not easy, you know, but Jimmy walking to Brooklyn, Jimmy walking to the LA Lakers, especially if the Philadelphia 76ers don't step up, that becomes very realistic. I think he's the one that probably does the dance and really considers other options way more than some of the other guys we're talking at the top.
Steve, appreciate your time this morning, man. Thank you.
Anytime, my friend. Be well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.